We had a great time up in Bamaga, and it was warm and it was lovely, and there were so many great memories and moments that we had. And I've got a few photos to share just before I preach this morning, because I know you like to see photos. We ran a camp there. Beck had planned this with some of the leaders in the community, and it was a camp specifically to help, encourage, and also counsel young people that have experienced trauma, recent trauma or loss. And so we did a camp, we did a bunch of activities and had some prayer time and worship time with them as well. And what else we got here? We took them fishing. Well, really, they took us fishing, more like it. Some beautiful sunsets out there on the beach. There was a crocodile there a couple of hours earlier. Here is some of the kids and the volunteers and the helpers. What else we got up here? I was on Sunday. We were a part of the church service in Sasia on Sunday, which was great. Next one. There's the last photo. That's Pastor T-Tom and Michelle, and they are the regional leaders up there. And they were such an encouragement to all of us. They were able to invite us up and invite us into their home, and we got to learn so much from them. It was such a blessing. I think that's all the photos, isn't it?
Yep.
Cool. Well, and thank you, Beck, for inviting us. Where'd you go, Beck? Hey, thanks for inviting us. It was awesome to see Beck flourish in her giftings and in her strengths, because so often, you know, she's serving in our youth ministry and young adults and conference and things like that. But it was awesome to watch her do her thing. And she's got a real heart for Bamaga, and she's got many stories that she could share with you if you were keen to ask. Well, this morning, we are going to talk about a new kind of focus. It's a message I preached while I was up there, some things that God had downloaded in me. And actually, since then, I've been feeling an even greater stirring, and I feel like the Lord has something specific for us today and this morning as a church. And so if you want to tune in and take notes, allow Holy Spirit to speak to you, and that would be great. Why don't we pray and honor the Lord this morning, hey? Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we become aware of your presence in this room this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we have not come just to do karaoke on a Sunday. Lord, I thank you that we have not just come for our feathers to be brushed nicely and we can walk out of this place and just with a nice smile on our face and keep living the same old life. Lord, we want transformation. So we pray, Holy Spirit, work deep within our hearts and our minds. I pray that we would leave this place not looking more pretty, but actually being more like Christ. And so, Lord, do a work within us this morning. We invite you to speak into areas of our heart, of areas of need. And I ask that you would prune us and shape us, that we would grow to be more like you in the image of God in which you created us. We love you so much, Lord. Breathe upon the word this morning. Speak through me. Speak into our ears and our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do it. Amen, amen, amen. This morning, talking about a new kind of focus, I want to start by sharing a little bit of, about what my life was like before coming to Christ. I was really confused about God. I believed God was real, but I wasn't following him. And I also want to thank my dad and my stepmom Tony for, I can't even see them, but they're around, but for modeling what it looks like to follow God, not just believe in him. Who knows that the devil believes in God? He believes he's real, but he's not following him. And there's a difference, and we have to make that choice in our life. We have to make that choice, and there has to come a time where we say, you know what? I'm not just going to believe God is real, exists and creates the universe. I actually want to follow him and surrender my life to him, walking with him. That takes courage. That takes a step of faith. That's what it means to follow God. And in my life and in my Christian journey, I've had to make multiple decisions to follow God. It wasn't just one decision. Who knows, I hear about this stuff, but I don't know from experience, but Pastor Rob tells me all the wonderful things about his marriage with Pastor Denise, and he always praises her and says great things. It's true though, he does. He says other stuff as well, but it's mostly good. But one thing I've heard from Pastor Rob and Denise is that it's a choice to love one another, you know, especially for Pastor Denise. Every day she has to make a choice to love Pastor Rob. She doesn't just wake up in the morning and go, oh, darling, it is so good to see you this morning. Let me make you a cup of coffee. Oh, come, let me roll out the red carpet for you. And as he's drinking his coffee, she's there with the coconut leaf fanning him, like feeding him grapes. That doesn't happen. That's also not in my notes, but it doesn't happen. You know what she does? She wakes up in the morning and, oh, I can't say this stuff about my pastor. Can I be a little bit cheeky? She wakes up in the morning and she smells the morning breath. And then Pastor Rob smells it too. And so she says, honey, you should brush your teeth first. And after then she chooses, looks him in the eyes and says, I'm going to choose to love this man today. Despite his flaws, despite arguments or disagreements, despite anything, I'm going to choose to love him today. And there's been moments in my Christian life where I've had to choose to love Jesus and follow him, even when I might disagree with him. You know, the Lord has convicted me on many things that there are some things that is sin for some people. There's some things that are sin for me that may not be sin for you. You know, and what that means is sin is really being disobedient to the Lord. And for me, if God tells me to do something or to live a certain way and I don't do it, then for me, I'm actually sinning against God because I'm being disobedient to him. And so I've had to make choices in my life to surrender to my ego, to surrender to my own way of doing things and love the Lord and live a life honorable of him and following him. I could choose to say, well, God, I believe in you. Isn't that enough? Jesus actually says in the Gospels, I was reading the other day, I can't remember where it was somewhere in Luke. Jesus said in there, he says, if you're not with me, then you're actually against me. Like if you're not walking with Jesus on the same path, you're actually against him. And so I want to encourage you this morning, we need to make decisions in our life daily to lay ourselves down and follow Christ. You know, Paul says it beautifully. He says, for I have been crucified with Christ. That word I in the Greek is ego. For ego has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer my ego that lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And our life from birth until death and in resurrection life, our life is about walking with God, in union with God. And the way we walk in union with God is we sometimes have to let go of our ego in order to follow him. In the first few years of that, I decided to start following God at about, I tried to at 16, it wasn't really working out well, but I still had the 17 and 18 was when I started to get really serious about the Lord. I got baptized in a caravan park pool in Cooktown, and it felt like I had a spiritual experience where, you know how snakes like leave their old skin? That's what it felt like when I got baptized. And maybe at the start of this new year, maybe some of you are ready to take that step of baptism and following Jesus into that. And you can let any of our pastors know or register at the info desk. But when I did that, when I got baptized, it felt like something was leaving me and a new life was awakening. And I buried something in those waters of baptism and I rose up a new creation. It was really awesome. And the reality was that something had become new in my spirit. My spirit had become new. God had washed me by the blood of the Lamb, spiritually cleansed me. I'd become a new spirit, clean and pure. But my mind hadn't been renewed yet. And so although I became new, I was a new creation in Christ. The old is fully gone. He separated sin from me as far as the east is from the west. He's removed it from me. A new creation, the righteousness of God. But my mind hadn't been renewed yet. And so although God has made me a saint, I was still thinking like a sinner. And I had to change my focus in order for my life to actually change. And so I went on this journey going back into year 12 and still being around my friendship groups and stuff there. They were still drinking and smoking and doing drugs. And I'd go to parties and I'd feel that temptation. And I remember trying a cigarette after I got baptized and it didn't taste the same. It didn't taste the same. I wasn't enjoying it anymore. I remember drinking and I started to get a little bit tipsy. And as I was getting a little bit tipsy, I started to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not because I've drunk alcohol or was drinking alcohol, but because I didn't want to be caught drunk and the Lord needed to use me. What if a demon manifested at this party and the Lord needed me to cast it out? I'm sorry, I just believe in that type of Christianity. Like stuff like that actually happens. And what if I got caught drunk and the Lord came back and I was in a drunken state disobeying the word of God and Jesus came back? Like, where's my heart in that? am I walking in union with God? And so I started to feel this conviction come upon me, and I had to start to renew my mind as to what was acceptable, as to what is my new normal. You know what I mean? And so I went on that journey of renewal, and really renewing your mind comes by the word. It comes by the word of God. And while my friends were out partying and experiencing the world and satisfying their flesh and doing all these things, hooking up with as many people as they can and writing it down in a notebook, how stupid is that? I was at home reading the scriptures. I was at home on YouTube looking up how to not sin. That's what I was doing. I was looking up on YouTube how to cast out demons, how to heal the sick, how to live a life and find your purpose in God. This is what I committed myself to. This is what I started to shift my focus towards. And as I started to do that, some of these old things were breaking off my life. And the word renewed my mind. It renewed my mind. I'd read in there about lust and how Jesus said, even if you look at a woman with adultery in your heart, or even if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. And so I thought, gosh, now I can't look at women. And so I'd walk through Canelands and I'd just walk around like this. But the word started to renew my mind, you know? And I went on that journey of being a new creation in my spirit, but then actually having to renew my mind. You can see the difference there. I'd become new and righteous in Christ by the blood of Jesus, not by works of man that I should boast, but by the blood of Jesus. He had taken the sin upon the cross. Corinthians says that he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. And by faith in that reality, and by actually taking that step of faith to get baptized, that became my truth. But my mind was yet to be renewed. Once I started to renew it, things started to change for me. I want to tell you this morning. This is my one and only point. It's that what you focus on will fill your life. What you focus on will fill your life. What do I mean by that? Well, if you focus on demons all the time, then the reality of demons will fill your life. You know, I know people that literally walk around and they'll get a red light and they'll be late. And why are you late? Well, you know, the demons and the lights, you know, the devil tried to stop me from coming to church early this morning. No, maybe you were just, you know, late to get your stuff ready and you couldn't find your keys and whatnot. But what you focus on will fill your life. If you believe that bad things are happening to you, if you believe that the world is working against you, then that's the reality you'll live in. It'll fill your life. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you believe that the world responds, if the earth responds towards you being a son and a daughter of God, then that's the reality that will fill your life. You choose what you focus on. There's a scripture in Proverbs that talks about this. Let's find it, because I can't remember what it is. Proverbs 23, verse 7. In the King James Version, it's pretty epic. It says this. For as a man thinketh, somebody say thinketh. No, you said it wrong. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. What you focus on will fill your life. What you focus on will fill your life. I want to focus on our new creation identity. I want us to focus on what Jesus has done, maybe not all of our problems. If you focus on fear, it'll fill your life. If you focus on division and why you don't get along with another person, that negativity will fill your life. If you focus on bad things that people say about you, then you will start to think everybody hates you. It may not be true, but what you focus on will fill your life. You have become a new creation, and it's time for us to start thinking like that. Now, I'm going to talk into something here that I feel like the Lord was speaking to me about just recently for our church today. And I'm going to go into Luke chapter 11. If you want to follow along with me, you can, because I don't think it's on the screen. Luke chapter 11, verse 33 and 36. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. I don't always read the Passion Translation, but this has a particular way of spelling it out for us this morning. So it's Luke 11, verse 33 to 36. It says this. Jesus is saying to the people, no one would think of lighting a lamp and then hiding it in a basement where no one would benefit. A lamp belongs on a lampstand, where all who enter may see its light. Simple. Lamp, you don't hide it in the basement, you put it on a lampstand so everyone can see its light. The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. When your heart is open, the light floods in. When your heart is hard and closed, the light cannot penetrate and the darkness takes its place. Open your heart and consider my words. Watch out that you do not mistake your opinion for revelation light. If your spirit burns with light, fully illuminated with no trace of darkness, you will be a shining lamp reflecting rays of truth by the way you live. What I get from this scripture is that what you focus on doesn't just fill your life, but it actually affects the lives of the family around you, the people around you, your close friends. That what you focus on, what you let into your spirit, what you desire, what you're thinking about will fill your life, but it also fill the surroundings around you. You know, have you heard the story of Peter when he's walking in the streets? He's received the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended into heaven. Now he's doing the works of the Lord. And he's walking through the streets, and it says that his shadow was healing the sick. People would line up sick people on the footpath, and his shadow just passing over would heal them. Why is that? Well, because your shadow will manifest whatever is overshadowing you. Your shadow will manifest whatever is overshadowing you. What have you got overshadowing you? Have you been struggling with that same thing for 5 years now and you still haven't overcome it? You can. You can. Maybe you need to take a different step. Maybe you need to try a different approach. Because we as Christians, as new creations in Christ, we cannot afford to have old things overshadowing us. Let me tell you something. When you renew your mind and you have new things overshadowing you, the presence of God overshadowing you, healing overshadowing you, that stuff will begin to affect the people around you. You hear the saying, hurt people, but have you heard the saying, healed people, heal people? If you're still hurt, if you're still battling with unforgiveness, if you're still battling with an addiction, come on, it's time to wake up. You can do this, not on your own, but Christ in you. Like, the Holy Spirit isn't just there to make you feel good and give you tingles on a Sunday morning. The Holy Spirit is in you so that you can overcome sin and crush the head of the enemy underneath your feet. But what you focus on will fill your life. Let me tell you, if you're still battling with lust, then focusing on lustful things and watching movies that have a lot of lustful things in it and looking too long at someone as they walk past, that's not going to help you. If you're trying to overcome sin and you're focusing on not sinning, that's not going to help you either. For so long in my journey, I tried to focus on not sinning, not sinning, not sinning, not sinning. It didn't work because all I was focusing on was what? Sin. You need to change your focus. Let me tell you, if you've given your life to Christ, you're as pure as Christ, you're as righteous as Christ. Because he's done a work in your spirit. He's cleansed you and washed you clean, but it's time to renew your mind. We need a new kind of focus. I want to go into 2021 not holding on to the demons of 2020. I want to go into 2021 a new person, a new creation. Amen? Let's check this scripture out. I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17. This one should be up on the screen. It says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Other translations say, all things have become new. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us now the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? It means that God didn't just cleanse you and make you a new creation so you can sit down on your couch and wait till you get to heaven one day. God's made you a new creation so you can make others a new creation. Every encounter with God you have is not just to make you feel good, it's so that you can be an encounter to somebody else. He's called you to be reconciled to God so that you can now be ministers of reconciliation. He's given us that. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for God. We are representatives of Christ.
God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
See, I told you I'm not just making this stuff up. All right. Can we put on up there Luke 5:36? You know the time where Jesus talks about the wineskins, and the wineskins bursting? I love that story. I actually had a really weird, I don't know what you'd call it, like a sign or a wonder or something. I bought a wine glass from the op shop, not so I could get drunk, but so I could take communion with it. And it's pretty, it was red, and it had gold like tinting on it. I don't know what you call it. Anyway, it was nice. $2. And as I brought it home with me, I had communion out of it maybe a couple of times in the mornings before work, and I left it on my bench. And as I left to go to work, I come back, and on my desk, the wine glass is still standing upright, but the whole side of it has burst out and shattered. All over my floor, all over my desk, yet the wine glass is still standing upright. Really weird. I don't know how that stuff happens or what was going on there. And I remember saying to Tony, I said, yeah, this happened. And she goes, oh, what do you think it means? Maybe it's like prophetic. Maybe God's trying to say something to you. And all I could remember was the scripture that we're about to read. Luke 5, verse 36 to 39. It says this. Jesus told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. You know what a wineskin is? It's like those leather bags or a leather, you know, carry bag that they would fill up with wine. And is that right, Pastor Rob? Good enough. Cool. It's like one of those things that they contain their wine or their drinks in, and they would take them on journeys with them. They'd fill up the wineskin. And so he's saying here, no one pours old wine into new wineskins. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skin and it will be spilled everywhere and the skins will be destroyed. But the new wine must be put into fresh made wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says the old is good. If you're drinking old wine still, you don't want the new anymore. If you've become a new creation in Christ, but you're still drinking old wine, you won't have a taste for the new because you're so satisfied by the old still. We have to let go of the old. In the same way, some of you have received new wine, you've received fresh revelation of God, you've received that new creation identity, you believe it, you've become the righteousness of God, you believe that's true, but you've got it in old wineskins. And you're holding on to an old way of doing things. Have you ever heard somebody say to you, I get this often, and it's quite sad actually, but I've heard people say, I've tried Christianity and it didn't work for me. Anyone heard that before? Like, I tried the Jesus thing and it just didn't work for me. That's because what they've done is they've received new wine, but they're holding on to old wineskins. In order to truly receive life abundant and the fullness of God in Christ Jesus, you have to not just receive his word and his message, but you have to let go of the old and turn away from the old. How do we do that? We shift our focus. We shift our focus. We don't focus on not sinning. We actually focus on the righteousness of God in Christ. We don't focus on all the bad things going wrong in our life. We shift our focus to focus on the new. The Bible says, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is delightful, focus on these things. There it is, up there. Practice these things and the peace of God will be with you. Shifting our focus. I don't have too much more to say this morning, but I just feel I want to encourage you. And for those who have believed that there's something more to life in Christ, for those who have been wondering, is there really more to this life in Christ? Like, am I just living? Am I just living, like, is this it? Let me tell you, if you're thinking that and asking that question, the answer is no, there's so much more. If you're not experiencing greater things than these, Jesus said,
you will do what I've done, but you will do greater things than these. And signs and wonders will follow those that believe. If you're not experiencing the greater things yet, then let me tell you, there is more for you. How do we receive it? We shift our focus. You want to see revival in this city? Then let's start focusing on revival. You want the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill your life, and you want to walk into work when everyone's stressed out and anxious, but you walk in with such a peace and authority and calm, and you'll calm the storm. Then you need to focus on the peace of God and the presence of God in your life, not the problems around you. You want to see financial blessing, then focus on the provision of God. Start reading about the provision of God. If you want to see sin completely separated from your life, and you want to break free from every addiction and every curse and bondage and stronghold that you've been struggling with for years, then the way you do that is you focus on the righteousness of God. You read the scriptures. You let it to renew your renew your mind. You let the word work within you. What you focus on will fill your life. In 2021, let's do it with a new kind of focus. Amen? Why don't we stand this morning? Hallelujah. Halal approved Luyas. I love them. That was a joke. I'm sorry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we pray this morning? I want to pray for people who feel like encouraged but challenged by this word also. To maybe they've been holding on to old wine or holding on to old wineskins. Maybe you've been feeling like the Christian life hasn't really been working for you. Well, that's probably why. Maybe you just want your mind to be renewed even more than what it is now, and you really want to walk in the fullness of Christ. You want to walk in the righteousness and the power of God. I want to pray for you this morning. So if you'd like, you can close your eyes in this room. No one's going to steal your wallet. And we're going to pray together this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. God, we just come and we recognize in humility that we cannot live this Christian life on our own. Like, we can't do it. We can't walk in holiness without the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I ask that you would fully make us aware of your presence in our everyday lives. Lord, help us to focus on and really believe and receive the righteousness of God that Christ, you paid for us. Because if we can believe it, we can receive it. Lord, help us renew our minds with the word. I just pray now in the name of Jesus, I bless these people with a fresh hunger for your word. In Jesus' name, Father, deepen the hunger for the word within us. That we would not just read letters on a page, but the spiritual word of God would take form in our flesh, in our mind, in our soul. Lord, we want to walk with you. We don't just want to believe in you. We want to follow you. We want to be ministers of reconciliation, but first we know we need to be reconciled. So Holy Spirit, help us. Shift our focus. God, we repent. We're sorry. We're sorry, Lord, for focusing on the negative things. We're sorry, Lord, for focusing on the wrong things. Renew our mind and focus us in on the fullness of God, on the beauty and the glory of our King. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Just, can we have everyone's eyes closed for a second this morning? I just know this helps me sometimes. If you know that something needs to change in your life, and you know you need to shift your focus, you know you need to break away and really overcome some temptations or maybe some old patterns and old ways of doing things, then I want you to just show that to the Lord, not to anyone else, not even to me, but I just want you to show that to the Lord and take that step of faith this morning by saying, God, yep, that's me, here I am. I need to change some things and I need your help. If that's you, why don't you just throw your hands up in the air and say, God, I need your help. Yep, all over the place, people throwing up their hands. God, I need your help, like I really do. I'm leaving the old and I'm stepping into the new. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're gonna worship this morning and we're just gonna close with this worship song. As we do that, if you'd like prayer, then why don't you come forward? I'd love to pray with you this morning. If you need healing in your body, focus on the healing. If you need freedom, if you need breakthrough, come forward. I'd love to stand with you in prayer.
as we worship and we sing this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just turn your heart to Him? Lift your hands in this place. Focus in on God and His beauty. Amen.